This episode is sponsored by Apollo, a tool that's helping me to open doors and close deals faster. Wanted to share it with you. Apollo is a complete end-to-end sales platform, letting you email, dial, connect on social, build plays, and schedule meetings. With conversational intelligence transcribing my calls lately and reminding me to act on my next steps to drive deals across the finish line, it's been a lifesaver. It's no wonder Apollo is the most loved sales tool on the planet. Thousands of users rank Apollo as a top tool on G2. Start today completely free and see how Jesse and I use Apollo. Sign up in the show notes below or at thesalesplayers.com/Apollo. That's thesalesplayers.com/APOLLO to start your free trial.
If you do any prospecting with LinkedIn, you have got to go get set up with Surf. That's Surfe. It's a tool you can use to add new contacts to your CRM system directly from LinkedIn in seconds. I'm using it every single day. I add contacts, follow my deals, keep track of notes, and it ends up saving me a bunch of time on prospecting and outreach, which means I can spend more time moving my deals along. The data is always 100% accurate since I don't have to copy and paste all the fields over from each and every contact that I want to put in my CRM. Instead, Surf does that all automatically with just one click in about 60 seconds. The team over at Surf has put together a very special offer for fans of Sales Players. There's a link down in the show notes and you can use the promo code JWSURF5. Don't forget the E at the end of Surf. That's JWSURF5 for 5% off your first year. Don't spend another minute doing things manually. Go get set up with Surf. What's up, Sales Players? It's me, Jesse, and I'm about to introduce today's guest. Chase and I had a fantastic conversation with Guillaume Maubech, the CEO of Limlist. As I said, he's the co-founder and CEO. Link in the show notes if you want to learn more about Limlist. He is on a mission to help 1 million entrepreneurs build a profitable business by 2025. In 3.5 years, he went from 0 to 10 million in ARR at Limlist, 20,000 customers worldwide, and he did this all completely bootstrapped, no outside funding. So he is an expert in scaling bootstrap SaaS companies with selling and particularly social selling. So we get pretty deep into that topic today. We talk about ways that you can use content to sell your product, build pipeline, and of course, scale your business. Guillaume tells us about some of the ways that he rallies his team around posting and creating content for LinkedIn. He also shares an amazing analogy about Marco Polo. I'm not going to spoil it. You got to listen to the episode to hear it. So without further ado, welcome Guillaume. All right. We've got Guillaume here, or G. We might refer to you as G throughout the episode. Welcome.
Thanks a lot for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Fantastic. So we want to get started by just learning a little bit more about you. Tell us your story, your background. How did you get started in this business?
Yeah. So before launching like a SaaS product, I actually had like a lead generation agency. So I was running sales prospecting campaign for companies all around the globe. And my goal was to generate meetings through cold outbound. I was mainly using like cold emailing and cold LinkedIn at the time. And eventually, you know, I saw like pretty much every like SaaS platform that was selling the dream of putting your sales prospecting on autopilot as if, you know, like the job of a SDR or account executive doing sales prospecting was useless. And I kind of felt like it was all a scam. I mean, of course, automation is good, but to build sales like a pipeline, you first need to build trust. You need the personalization. And I felt like all the platform on the market were not really meant for that. So that's when I started Limlist in 2018, so January 2018. 3.5 years later, we were at $10 million in annual recurring revenue, valued at more than $150 million when I cashed out 20% of the business. So now we serve around like 20,000 plus customers worldwide, and we're in more than 100 countries. So it's been quite a hell of a ride.
Wow.
Love that, G. And You know, I'm actually going through your funnel right now. I signed up a week ago and just going through the Limbless funnel, and I love that. One of the things that I really love about your story and want to understand, because I've actually noticed this in the SaaS world, is how do leaderships get their actual teams to get bought in to the LinkedIn presence of building in their personal brand? How do you get the leadership? Because I've been in some companies where the leadership's like, LinkedIn really isn't working. It's not worth it to put effort into it. And it really seems like that is the platform that you've leveraged yourself, but then how you've scaled your company, you've really driven employees to have that ability to scale their own personal brands. And that's helped the company really succeed. So I'd love to learn tips, tricks, and how to get people more involved.
Definitely. We're going to get really tactical about that. So I'd say like the first thing, like the reason why I think most company don't do it is because I rarely meet, I think, a CEO. It's pretty new. We see more and more founders like Sherry on LinkedIn, but there are a lot of them who see it as a threat. So they believe that because their employee is getting, are getting, you know, like traction on social, that eventually, you know, they're going to get like more job offers and they're going to leave. But I think this is pretty sad. Like if you believe that your employees, just because they are like succeeding in life, they're going to leave. Like it's really like, I think it's just sad as a leader. You should always strive for more. And, you know, like if you're helping your team to succeed and strive, usually like they stick around longer. So to give you a bit of background, I think like in B2B, people tend to overcomplicate the reason why a business is successful. So everyone loves to talk about, you know, like the benefits of the solution they're selling, et cetera, et cetera. But if we simplify it to the lowest level, I would say that in B2B, you either help people save time or make more money. And to do so, it's all about one thing, trust. So for me, you know, like from the start of the business, I was trying to think of how exactly do you build more trust? And when I would start running, like, because I grew the business essentially from 0 to 1 million in annual recurring revenue by myself. And I would do like, you know, like the outbound myself, close the deal manually, et cetera. And at first, I realized that as soon as I started posting about my journey, about, you know, like older learnings I was doing with the campaigns, et cetera, the more people would interact with my content. And the more, you know, like when I reached out to these people or to like people following me, the more reply rate I would get, like the higher the reply rate would be. So eventually I start seeing like my reply rate went from, let's say, like 10% per campaign to 30 or 40% simply because people already knew me. And, you know, when you analyze that, you start thinking like it's pretty basic. Like if tomorrow, like we see each other and you tell me, you know, like, hey, G, like if you give me like $10 today, I'm going to give you like $100 in a week. I'm going to say yes, you know, like because obviously like I trust you guys. I saw your podcast and you're doing like great content. But if it's a random dude, probably I'm just going to say no, you know, like and for me, business is all about that. So you were asking like, how do you make sure to have the team, you know, like join and be motivated about it? For me, I split that into like into two phases. The first phase is show them that it works. So I lead with example. So from the start, I started building my personal brand on LinkedIn. I got banned many times, but that's like another story. And I had to start over again. Like, I think this is my maybe my third profile on LinkedIn. But eventually, like, you know, when you show your team that you get traction, that, you know, like all the messages you receive, all the inbound leads that you receive from your content, then people start to be interested. So first thing is lead with example as a founder, show your team that it works. Then the second part was creating an entirely like a coaching program within the team. So I created something that I called the Lemtastic program. And the Lemtastic program was essentially like a 100-day coaching program for everyone in the team. So the first step was me helping them find their positioning. So the way I did that is I told people that the best way to become a thought leader in what they do was to document their journey. And, you know, like what we say, it's like, if you want to become the best, teach what you learn. Mm-hmm. Because You know, like a lot of people, you're going to explain them something. Then if you ask them, like, do you understand? They're going to say, yes, of course. And then if you ask them, like, can you teach it to another person? They're going to struggle because it's very different to just understand something in your mind and be able to actually teach it in an articulate way. And I think writing and creating content is the best way to crystallize your knowledge and really level up in the field where you want to become an expert. So the way I started to sell it to the team was, I want you to become a thought leader in what you do. You decided to choose sales, you decided to choose marketing, you decided to choose customer support. If you want to become the best, document all your learnings, create your own community, and you will see that it's going to benefit you eventually. Because if tomorrow you want to launch your business, you already have an audience. If tomorrow you want to leave the company, you have like a really good profile. And you know, like I think people are kind of like unrealistic. Most founders are like, they believe that someone's going to join their company and stay for like 15 years or 20 years. Like, I don't believe it. I believe that, you know, if someone wants to leave, you know, it's part of life. What I wish is that I brought them enough value for the years they've been with us that, you know, like they always have like a good memory and I impacted their life positively. So my coaching program was first step, helping them being positioned. Second step, helping them with the content. So how to write great hooks, how to make sure like you build and engage with your audience. How do you like push your audience towards the funnel? And after that, it was the 100-day program, which is you have to post every single day for 100 days. Wow. And to that day right now, like we don't spend a single dollar on LinkedIn, on ads. And we reach around like, I think now the reach has decreased because LinkedIn changed the algorithm, but it's around like 10 million people like each month with the team.
Have you ever had a team member who doesn't want to play along, or is that just something that you'd probably sift out during the interview or onboarding process with a new hire?
Yeah. There are a lot of people who we don't force people like to post on LinkedIn. Some of them are not comfortable and don't want to use it that way, which I think is fine. You know, like for me, it's more depending on the ambition of the person. If they want to go ahead, like we're going to help them and we're going to support them. If they don't feel like it's the right time, we're never going to push. But for sales rep, it's actually quite funny because, you know, like at first they were very like against posting on LinkedIn because they were like, it's so time consuming, et cetera, et cetera. And then all you need is to have at first a couple of SDRs. I mean, we don't really have SDRs or AE. We do like full stack. But full sales cycle. But eventually you have one or two that are the top performers and that are posting on LinkedIn. They share, you know, like the last campaigns they've done. They share, you know, what worked, what didn't work. And eventually, step by step, they build their audience. And, you know, like eventually when you get like one sales rep who's generating maybe like 10 to 15 meetings per week because they create content and do outbound, especially nowadays, then, you know, like the whole team is like, shit, you know, like I want to do this as well, you know. So I think it's pretty easy to have people buy in on the sales side for us.
Yeah, I want to go back to something really quickly. You mentioned I'm gonna push a little bit here. You mentioned getting banned from LinkedIn. Can you share just maybe some don't do's for our listeners who are using LinkedIn and trying to scale up their content creation, connecting, anything there that we can avoid to make sure we don't get banned?
Yeah, definitely. So in full transparency, I created a monster on LinkedIn. So the reality is like, I don't like to do repetitive tasks. And when I launched Lemlist in the early days, I really are paying, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually at the time, like when LinkedIn was still pretty new, at some point, there was something called engagement pod. So people would put themselves inside a pod, so a group of people. And when someone would post, they would put their link to their post and everyone would click and start engaging. I thought that it was stupid not to automate that. So I created a tool called Lempod that was basically a Chrome extension that was automating all of that. So at first it was really cool because, you know, like I didn't have to do this manually and I could engage and support like a post of other founders and friends. But eventually it got really out of hand. And I had the biggest dilemma of my life, which was money versus, you know, like just doing the right thing. And Lempod became like the biggest marketplace in the world of engagement pods. the business in very quickly was generating like $500,000 of profit per year. And I decided to sell it because it was out of hand. Like we had people, you know, like posting about, I don't know, religious stuff, war stuff, and getting huge engagement because they were like entering every single pod, hacking the stuff. So I just thought I would sell the business and have someone who could like take care of it, have like a better organization to take care of it. But then LinkedIn reached out and they told me that the tool was illegal. I mean, against their terms and services. And I told them that I had sold it, and they asked me for the name, but we had sold it through like a broker, and in the basically like sales agreement, we could not disclose the name of the buyer. And because I had made like a decent amount of money from it, I was like, I'm sorry, but legally I can't give you the name. So LinkedIn said, you can't give us the name, so we're going to ban your profile. And then they really like banned my, like Guillaume Moubesh, like my full name was banned, and I couldn't recreate an account. So after that, like I tried to recreate many accounts and got banned until I found a way. So now I'm back. Awesome. We never know.
Yeah. And I'm curious, do you diversify across other platforms? Is LinkedIn the primary focus, or is, you know, would Twitter be another one, or would, you know, another channel be something that Limbless would invest in or your team invests in?
Yeah, so the thing is, like, over the years, our strategy has kind of like changed. So at first, I was only talking about sales. So my LinkedIn posts were cold email tips, sales tips, closing tips, how to handle objections, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, you know, as the team got bigger and we started having a sales team, I basically shared all my tips with the team and have them rewrite my posts so we could create a lot more content a lot faster and they could grow their audience. And eventually I started talking more about like entrepreneurship. So more top up funnel, more inspirational. So right now I'm really like handling like the whole top up funnel, which is CEOs, people getting starting with their business, et cetera. And, I'm pretty big on Instagram. I reach between like 2 and 3 million people each month. I have like 200,000 followers, I think, on Instagram. Twitter is a bit slow now, so I'm like 20k follower, but I'm not spending much effort on it. And because just of all the mess that's happening, I'm not sure I want to invest on it. And TikTok is basically like the same as Instagram, because it's just the same thing. I just don't go on there because it's like the comments are just insane. Yeah. And I love YouTube. I spend a lot of time like creating longer form videos. They're not like getting an awesome reach, but the quality of the people who watch the video is really, really high. So every single week, I've got like conversation with high level CEOs who watch my YouTube videos. So this is really cool. Like the amount of view is not that great, but the quality is super high.
Very interesting. And G, I actually work for Alex Becker, who I work at Hyros. And one of the things that Alex, our founder, is he basically is doing this on, he has a whole audience on YouTube, and it's amazing being involved with a company where the leads are just flowing in, and it's just amazing for the team to just be able to do sales, and people are really excited, and the clients already know more about the product coming in the door. So I think that what you're teaching is so important for both the founders, the team, the CS. It just helps the whole everybody, you know. It's just a better process.
Yeah, and I love the quote from Peter Thiel, who said like competition is for loser. And I think, you know, like it's not that you shouldn't compete or be in a competitive market, but it's just like I see a lot of people who are just trying to, you know, like ship the same feature as their competitors or copy everything, be like, but in the end, you know, like if you want to be unique, just be yourself. And be yourself is the easiest way, I think, to be yourself is to create content and have people. Content creation for me is just like a small window into your brain or a part of your brain. So if you are like true to yourself, if you create content on your own, you will see that eventually like your brand is going to be a lot stronger. If you look at the story of Lemlist, like we started in 2018, We had like a sales loft and outreach raising like hundreds of millions. Everyone was telling us, you know, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it's such a crowded market. It doesn't make any sense. Another sales automation platform. But eventually, just because, you know, like, I was like creating content, I really cared about our audience. I wanted people to be successful. I was doing all these things. Eventually, some people, you know, like they just preferred us. Like our customer support was faster. The service, the tips, the tricks, it was coming from someone in the trenches. So eventually, you know, like you can differentiate yourself by just being yourself. And I think that's something that's very like undervalued. And everyone believes that, you know, like to create a strong brand, you need like hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I started the company with just $1,000. So when you don't have money, creating content takes time, but documenting your journey is like the easiest way like to really build a strong brand. And right now, if you look at our traffic, 95% of the overall traffic on Lemlist comes from people typing Lemlist. So it's like branded keyword. So I think that's a lesson in the long run. And something that a story that I love, it's like the Marco Polo story. You know Marco Polo?
Yeah.
So Marco Polo is actually like super well known for discovering like the Silk Road. He wrote a lot of books about it, and everyone keeps talking about him. But the reality is like he's not the one who discovered like the Silk Road. He was just like a Venetian merchant, and before him, there were maybe like tens of thousands of people who went through that same road, but he was the first one to document it. And I think, you know, I think this is like, you know, like we all have a different path. We all have a different journey. And if you look at the content that you like watching, the videos that you love, the movies that you really enjoy, it's always because it's a story. And your story, even though if we feel that it's our normal life, etc., actually, it interests people because we have these things where we're always curious to understand what people are learning, their life, their failures, etc., etc. So the more you do it and the more it becomes a habit, I think essentially for me, creating content is investing in yourself.
Yeah.
And I've never met someone who regretted investing in themselves in the long run.
Yeah. That's a great story. I had never thought about Marco Polo or the Silk Road in that way. And I love the example of he was just the first one to actually document it. So he gets the credit for it, right? So take us back to, you mentioned a minute ago that you started Lemlist with $1,000. Take us back to that moment. What was it that prompted you to start a company like this? And maybe share a little bit of what the early days looked like for yourself and for the early team at Lemlist.
Yeah. So the reason why, you know, like I think it was just, you know, coming from the lead generation agency. I wanted something that could scale further and also like have a platform that really understands what the whole sales process is about. And not just you're going to put your sales on autopilot and you're going to generate tons of revenue. More like you need to do personalization. You need to find the right intent. You need to understand who you're reaching out to. And we're going to build a platform to help you do so. And in the early days, like to be honest, with $1,000, you can't do much. So I had kind of like created this virtuous circle where I would start by using Lemlist to run outbound campaigns. So I would run campaigns across three regions. APAC, so Australia and Singapore and Hong Kong, then Europe, and then North America. And I would see, you know, like which region would have the highest reply rate. And I would do like my demos accordingly, like from 8 a.m. to like midnight, depending on the time zone. Eventually, like I would just like document everything. So I would run maybe like 10 different campaigns every single week where I would test like different approaches. Maybe that 8 out of 10 would not work, but the 2 that would work, I would start like explaining why it works and creating content around it. So every single week, I was releasing an article with a new cold email that I had done with the results. And eventually, like because I would write an article about it, share it on social, giving tips, eventually I started having more and more people comment. And I asked, you know, everyone who started commenting on my post if they wanted to join like a Facebook community. From that community, people would start asking questions. Some were like early Lemlist users, so they would also ask questions about the tool. Eventually, they would give feedback and, you know, like have us maybe like build new features. With these new features, I would reuse them inside a campaign. So, for example, like we are the first to add the video and dynamic landing page inside like the sales automation platform. From there, I would recreate like videos, sales prospecting, et cetera, show the tools, and so on and so forth. And eventually, like this created really like a strong brand, more word of mouth, more people recommending it. And we were able to grow like to $1 million in annual recurring revenue pretty fast from there.
Gee, I want to ask a question real quick. And this is something that I really struggle with is, what is your documentation process? I signed up for Lemlist the other day, and the first thing that you recommended me to do is download Notion. So do you still use Notion, and really talk to us about tactical steps of how do you document, and back in the day, like how did you document what was actually going on and tracking your results?
Yeah, I think Notion is really cool. Because you have like you can really structure like all your learnings, your to-dos, your documents, your roadmap, etc. Like I think like anyone should use it. When it comes to like documenting, I would say that I would mention that was from the sales prospecting. So here, for example, I would create maybe like one page per campaign with at the first of the page like the goal. So I always put the goal of the campaign. So for example, the goal can be like, I want to try out if personalized images with me holding a cup of coffee gets a better result versus without images when I want to do like a networking call with someone. Or I want to see if like a super short video of less than 15 seconds perform better than a video where I speak for a minute. So that's the first step. And then I would like write the campaign and just like list all these campaigns like this, and eventually like start talking whenever I would have the results. So one campaign usually runs for like 3 or 4 weeks with like 5 or 6 steps, sometimes a bit more. And then I would compare results and I would write articles about it. And then there is like another documentation process, which is more for me as a founder, which is every time we reached certain milestones. So for example, how did we go from 0 to 10 customers? How did we go from 10 to 100? How did we reach our first million? How did we go from et cetera, et cetera? And for me, I would not document this as I go. I would document it maybe like every quarter. So every quarter I would look at the results. I would try to understand what we did, what worked, what didn't work. I would share everything. And from there, I would decide to kind of like double down on what worked and what didn't. So why I think documenting is really good is, first, because you're going to share it with the world, every mistake you do, it actually counts. You know, like, because to be honest, when you do like something very stupid and you write about it, it's not a super nice feeling. I prefer doing smart thing and, you know, like brag about it rather than doing stupid shit. But I want to be honest and transparent. So I still document it. Then, at least, you know, whenever you have spotted what works and everything becomes like really clear. So I think like if you want to be successful in business, and no matter like your role, whether you're sales, whether you're marketing, whether customer support, you got to put your hand in the dirt. Like you got to do things. A lot of people get stressed, and stress comes from not taking any action. You know, it's the same. Like if you look at jumping out of an airplane, I was fucking like so stressed about it. Like I thought I was gonna die. But once I jumped, I was like, okay, I jumped. You know, it's too late to be stressed now. You better enjoy. And I think it's the same thing, you know, with taking action and start doing things. So if you keep doing things, it's really good. But for me, this is just a lot of dots. So when you do things, you actually collect lots of pieces of information. But if you really want to make that information stick, and if you want to just go to a next level, you need to connect the dots. And connect the dots for me is the writing, is the documentation process. Because once you do it and once you document, you're going to see that your level of accountability is going to increase tremendously. And if you become accountable and have extreme ownership on your action, I think you join the top 1% of people. You would see that a lot of people never do the things that they said that they were going to do. And I think that when you document it publicly, you have no other choice, to be honest.
Let me ask this, because I think this is probably top of mind for a lot of our listeners that want to go out and create content to build pipeline and generate more leads. So we've got a good idea of your documentation process. The next question I have is then how do you stay consistent? And then the follow on to that question is, how does content translate into captured revenue, right? What's the sort of funnel like once you've started posting and building a social presence? How do you then convert that into people that are raising their hand asking to learn more about your product?
Okay. This is going to be like a pretty long answer, but first, I want to just break a lot of like a mental barrier that a lot of us have when we get started. So the first step about being consistent, I think the question behind it is, how do you find ideas for content? Like, how do you always come up with something new? So the first thing that you really like blew my mind when I understood it is like, if you look at the best writers in the world, the best books, the best selling books, you would see that 10% of their book is actually original. The 90% of the rest of the book comes from a lot of other ideas that you could find in many, many different books. So everyone believes that you need to be unique, et cetera, et cetera, and you create content. That's not true. So the first step whenever you want to create content is to find what I call like the mentors. So you define like your pillars. So for example, like if you work in sales, you're going to define like a few pillars. One pillar is going to be like sales prospecting. One pillar can be cold email. Another pillar can be closing. Another pillar can be discovery call. So you define two or three like pillar like this. And then from these pillars, you try to find people who are writing really good content on each of these topics. And from these people, sometimes you're going to agree with them. If you agree with them, you write down the idea and you try to rephrase it, make it your own, add a little more on top of it. And then if you disagree with what they say, you write about it. Why do you disagree? What's your unique take on this? What have you tried that maybe they haven't? What do you see that maybe they don't? And by just doing this, I have like a file that is like a ID dump. And in it, I just, every time I see a post, so first step is really like create the right environment. Create the right environment means following the right people. Because everything, you know, so it's like garbage in, garbage out. If you comment, if you like just consume shitty content, you're going to produce shit. If you consume really good content, you're going to produce really good output. So once you have listed all these people, write all your ideas in a document and eventually start writing posts about it. So that's how I stay consistent, because I've got documents with hundreds of ideas. If you're like lazy to create content at first, just copy paste like some of the posts. You can have like ChatGPT rewrite them, and eventually you're going to see like, it's not really my tone, and you're going to start changing things. I think this is the easiest way to do it at first, because the blank page is extremely stressful. So it's extremely stressful to start from scratch. And this is just like an easy technique that will get you started. And with the ID dump, you never get out of ideas and you stay consistent. It's not about like, I really like don't think writing a post every single day is the right approach. Because to be honest, like writing is really something that that comes and go. It's more like, I would say it's more like of an artistic flow in some way. Like it's not something that... that you can build like every single day. Like you can build a habit of writing, that's for sure. And you should write every single day, but you shouldn't put pressure to write a post every single day. Mm. You should write like a different post, different ideas. Sometimes you're going to feel super inspired and you're going to be able to write 10 in a row, sometimes not. So go with the flow. So that's the first thing. And the second question you ask was, how do you make money from it? Which I think is also like really like where we're here today. Yeah. So for me, I've got like the 80-20 rule, which I think applies in pretty much every aspect of our life. But 80% of the time, you should be providing only value. So position yourself as a thought leader, give tips, actionable things, et cetera, et cetera. 20% of the time, you should provide gated content. Simple example for us. We are like a sales automation tool. We have like hundreds of sales sequence from email and LinkedIn that worked, giving maybe like 15%+ reply rates. We're going to like write a post about this. So do you want to get like 15%+ reply rates? Our customers have like hundreds of campaigns that they can use. If that's of interest, comment reply rate or something like this, whatever, comment gold, comment more money, comment something. And from there, you give them access. So it's called the comment and get approach. More people comment, so the reach of your posts increase. The more they comment, the more people see it. The more people see it, the more you can message them. Another thing that I like to do, so that's really like an easy way like to promote something, so that you promote content and then you close the deals. Another thing you can do is talk about an extremely specific problem, a solution that you have developed, and ask people to reach out to you if they're interested. Like that also can work really, really well. For example, like a problem that a lot of sales reps have is the deliverability. Like people believe that because they have, let's say, like 20% open rate, they think that their subject line sucks, but actually it's because their emails are landing in spam and not in the inbox. So we have like maybe like a 60-point checklist of the things that you must do. You can talk about this, and then you can share maybe like 10 points of the checklist and say, I've got 50+ more points about that checklist. If you're interested in getting like a full deliverability audit, just reach out to me. And by doing so, you provide already value. You show a part of the solution, and at the same time, you generate demos. So that's like, I would say, the very direct approach of generating like money, because people are taking action and they are really like engaging with you. Another way of doing this is there are two methods that I like. First method is you basically take everyone who's engaged on the post of yourself and your team, and you reach out to them if they match your ICP. And simply because, you know, they have liked your post, don't mention, I saw that you like my post, because I think this is pretty like not so good. But if you have a post about deliverability, mention that topic and reach out to them. You will have a lot of people who would come back to you. And sometimes, you know, like they liked your post, but they don't remember your name. But that topic is of interest for them. And it's just basically going to be the right time for them to have that chat. So yeah, that's more of a proactive process, and that works really well. And the second thing that I really like doing, people, mostly in like French people are really like this a lot. And I think in the US also we see it, but a little bit less. But essentially, like people, you know, like they will not like your post, but they would visit your profile.
Interesting. You know?
And so what you can do, and what I do basically is like I've got like we do this for every sales rep who write about like a cold email. So we put a filter on Sales Navigator with the ICP, so our ideal customer profile. And we put that, and we select also have visited my profile in the last 90 days. So on Sales Navigator, you can actually see who are the people who match a certain ICP who have visited your profile in the last 90 days. That way, you automatically take that filter, put it inside Lemlist, and automatically you can put them in like a multi-channel sequence where we're going to reach out to them on LinkedIn via email, via call, because we know that they visited the LinkedIn profile. So they are interested, you know, and they spend time looking at it. And maybe, you know, like they sort of something, they saw like a dog video on TikTok and they got, you know, like somewhere else. So that's I would say the two ways that are really good in what I call the hybrid method. So it's a hybrid between creating content and also like closing people.
Closing the deal.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love well, that. Wrapping things up, just two more questions. And one of them is how do listeners get in touch with you or with the team at Lemlist if they're interested in learning more about it? And then maybe before you answer that question, tell us a little bit about some things that are on the roadmap for the company. Are you guys putting out any new features or any tooling related to AI? Would love to hear about what's next on the roadmap for Lemlist.
Yeah, so So there are a few things. So first, we acquired a company that's called Taplio that actually helps you like write a really good post on social media and on LinkedIn. So that's for me, that's like extremely helpful. And the goal is to basically have Taplio and Lemlist linked a lot better. So there are a lot of things that we've tested in the last 6 months that gives us like insane results. I talk a bit about it, which is of course, like the content you create and then reach out, you know, like to people engaging with your content. But there are other things. So for example, like you could have an influencer talk about a specific topic and you could actually reach out as an intent to all the people who commented and engaged with that post in a smart way, not just mentioning, I saw that you liked that post. So that's kind of like a few things that we want to do is basically like connect a lot more everything that's happening on LinkedIn and all the intents, and also like Lemlist. We want to improve, you know, like our database by adding, you know, like a lot of signals. So someone changed job, someone is hiring, all these kind of things. So really like making it easy to spot like the hottest leads. There's another thing that we want to do is auto optimization of campaigns. So for example, like you're going to tell me that your ideal customer profile are head of sales in the US of S&P 500 companies. Mm-hmm. And we're going to basically like try to refine this. So based on the replies, based on how people interact with your campaign, we're going to tell you actually, it's not just S&P 500 companies. It's tech companies who are currently profitable with a headcount growth that is 100% on average. And now it narrows down even more and your campaign can be even more precise and you can get even better results. And I think, yeah, like we have other things, especially on the deliverability side, but this is a bit like a secret at the moment because if we manage to do it, it's going to be game changer, but it's very tricky.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Well, awesome. I have one other question just real quick. I've noticed actually two different companies or actually three different creators in France and Germany. It really seems like the country France and Germany is trying to level up people in tech. So they're allowing people to join courses. Would like to learn more if your company is really embracing that and trying to level up the EU to get people more into tech and how people can find you.
Yeah, definitely. So I think like the startup scene is really booming in Europe. Like everyone's leveling up. Everyone's like trying to, I think the since COVID, everything changed. Like it's so much easier to grow like an international like business from anywhere in the world. I think what matters the most is what value do you provide to your customers. And personally, like I really don't care where people are located. I just want to help as many people as possible. If people want to reach out, chat, or are interested in Lemlist, like LinkedIn is just the best way, or they can message me. So it's guillaume@lemlist.com. I answer like every single email. If you don't know how to pronounce my name, just check the name in the description.
Or G, but I guess.
Or G.
and then G, you know, I can't get away with this. I'm from Kentucky and the drink of choice for me is an old fashioned, but I always like to ask, you know, if somebody sees you in a bar, you know, what is your drink of choice?
To be honest, I'm gonna go with the same. I really like old fashioned, to be honest. I think it's
What's your bourbon of choice then?
I like I drink maybe whiskey a bit more, so like Scottish whiskey from okay. like small places when I used to live in Scotland.
Okay, we'll have to get you to bourbon country here in Kentucky sometime because nice. It's bourbon's exploding. But yeah, great episode.
Well, all right. We'll be sure to post your info, Guillaume, in the show notes. Thanks so much for joining us. Anything else you care to share with listeners before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think like the best way, you know, in life is to get started. Like, don't overcomplicate things. Just go out there. Do not care about what people think. Be yourself. Be unique. And keep rocking.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having
Guillaume.
Me.
Really appreciate it.